Hello, my ladies, my gays, my theys, and the men who get it. This is Reagan, and welcome back to the F the Nice Guy podcast. Now, if you haven't seen it, there is a trend going around on TikTok where people are listing things our exes did and we stayed. Well, I feel like I have a lot to contribute to this.
Do we have the content for you?
We've got the stories. I've got the cousin. Hey, Kate.
Oh, hi.
A one, a two, a one, two. He's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he's screaming in your face. And he's a nice guy, such a nice guy, but he'll put you in your place. And he's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he gets caught. He's a nice guy, such a nice guy, until he's not. F the nice guy.
Mine date back to like when I was a teenager.
Oh, I brought some out of the vault.
Yeah, I brought some vintage stories. So they're like funnier. Because you're like, how stupid was I?
Before I knew, you don't know what you don't know.
I loved him though. I loved him.
He was the love of my life at 14.
Oh, yeah, I got a page and a half that I wrote down.
Dude, I've got pages. Also, apologies if you hear pages. We're reading off stuff. Okay. Oh God, I'm so scared.
Things my exes did and I stayed. He left me during a formal dance to dance with another girl because it was, quote, their song. And then he later cheated on me with that girl. And ironically, the song was Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks.
Oh my God. The friend in the low place was you, Kate, because you were in hell.
He told on himself.
The things we put up with in our youth.
Yeah, like, that was high school.
I was hoping so. This was 2 years ago.
It was my husband. I'm just kidding.
It was our wedding night. It was our wedding reception. I haven't even told many people this story. So this is hot goss. Actually, it's like freezing because it was in high school. He went on a family trip, and when he got back, he wouldn't stop talking about meeting this amazing girl, making sure to mention how fit she was. I was in the middle of a medical issue that had caused me to gain weight.
Oh, just really driving it home.
He went with his family. She was with her family. He met her down there. And literally he came back and was like, oh my God, she's so amazing. We had been dating for 2 years.
Oh.
Like, and then I remember like later, her and I became friends because I'm a people pleaser and I'm unwell. I'm unwell mentally. And then she came and saw him and he was like, yeah, it wasn't at all what I expected and I kind of wanted her to leave.
Karma.
Because it's kind of like you didn't know her.
Funny how that works.
It's kind of like you dated me for 2 years. Yeah, and I was literally like, without getting into the whole story, I was over-medicated and was really sick because of it. And that is the timing of this fit friend. He met and he played volleyball with her. She was setting and striking. Oh, is that? Nope, that's not it. What is it?
What?
Set.
I don't know.
Spike. That's it. I said strike. This is why I'm not fit. This is why my high school boyfriend leaves me. It was so brutal. I just remember when he literally the word fit coming out. And I was like, did you cheat on me? Or like, what?
What's going on here?
I'm not your bro. Like, I'm your girlfriend. You're just telling me about this other woman. This seems a bit odd. Maybe he was like just trying to like hint to me that I should, you know, stop being medically unwell.
Get more fit, Reagan.
Fit, yeah. Forget those meds that are killing you. Get to the gym.
Start setting and spiking.
Spike that ball, girl.
Well, I'll segue into another one that kind of stays on theme. He told me that I was, quote, much more sturdy than the girls he was used to dating.
Oh.
That's exactly what he said. And I know that because I went back through my old journals to reference previous relationships. And I wrote that down the day that it happened. Because I was like, I don't know what, how...
How should I feel about that? What's that? Am I supposed to?
Not sure. Oh, rationalized it in my head and I stuck around.
Let me just think about that one, what that could mean. I'm sturdy like a tree.
I'm strong. I'm gonna go with that.
Why didn't you say strong? Yeah. It's background for the story. I used to post singing videos a lot of me playing piano and singing.
Yeah.
When I had time to have a life. And this guy would always comment on it, and he would say, he would always tell me he was surprised that I was actually a good singer. And oh, he would nice comment words. On every single video. It was always like, oh, I always forget that you can actually sing, or like, you don't seem like you should be able to sing. Like, you don't look like you, like this weird backhanded mutant of a compliment. And I was always like, I didn't see the negging. I was like, oh, he's complimenting me. He's like, no, he's like trying to insult you while complimenting you.
Oh, that old trope. Right out of the alpha males book of how to get in women's head.
You can't compliment her. You have to destroy her while you build her up. If you're going to build her up, first you have to destroy her.
He peed in my clean laundry basket when he was drunk. And when I confronted him about it the next morning, he threw my piss-covered laundry into the backyard and told me to find somewhere else to live if I was that unhappy.
Oh.
And I stayed.
Mm. So he peed like a dog.
Like a
on
dog.
Your clothes.
My folded clothes. Right in front of me.
You were there when
I was
he was
right
peeing?
There. It was right next to the bed. And it was like 2 a.m. And he had gotten home from work because we lived where we worked. So he had like finished cleaning out the kitchen and come to bed because we lived together. And I woke up cleaning out the kitchen. I say that in quotes because he was drinking the whole time. And he just walked into the bedroom and whipped it out and peed in my clean clothes. And I said, I'm not dealing with this tonight.
He said, you should get out then. You should.
Yeah. When he was sober the next morning, not even when he was drunk, the next morning, I was like, hey, bud. Hey, pal. What are you going to do about my laundry over there that you peed in last night? And it just, you don't like it? Go find somewhere else to live. Threw it in the yard when it was raining.
I love how men call us dramatic. But like toxic men, but like they're the first ones to blow something up. You're like, hey, I don't like this thing. They're like, oh, then leave me, then go. If you're so miserable, if I'm a demon, you're like, okay, bro, I just said pick up your socks. Like,
God forbid I'm upset about you peeing in my clean clothes.
How dare you?
The things I was just so ungrateful for.
I know. Oh, here's a good one. I saw him at his frat. We were not dating at the time, and he approached me to let me know he had told all the guys in his frat to stay away from me because, quote, she's with me. He was actively dating another girl at the time.
No, red flag number one was frat. That's all I needed to hear.
Oh, I'm your possession. Oh, because we had dated in the past, so I guess you own me then. Good, good. I'm glad you told the bros. Hands off.
See, my mindset back then, I would have been all over that too. I was like,
yeah, it's sad.
He staked his claim. Barf.
I don't know. He was constantly dating both of us at the same time. He married her, so it's cool. And I'm gay, but yeah, it was one of those that like, no harm, no foul. But it was one of those, did you ever have that where like, oh, you're like trying to fight for some guy. And then you're like, what was we doing? Why were we doing that? Why were we fighting over this guy?
This trend is hilarious, but it's also very embarrassing. He told me to dress up really nice for a surprise Valentine's Day dinner. And then he took me to Rocky Rococo's.
What is that?
A pizza place that rivals like Domino's. Or like, I don't know, Pizza Hut.
Put on your nice bib.
I don't know. I'm probably offending some Rocky Rococo fans here. I will give him credit. It was a heart-shaped pizza and it was like their Valentine's thing. So I think the intention was good. Yes. But like he really played up the like, I really want you to get drunk. Like I thought we were going to like a tasting menu dinner or something. Like I was really ramped up. I had like a bodycon dress on and like stilettos. And I was like, let's go, babe. And it was Rocky Rococo.
You're like, oh, I think I'm a bit overdressed.
It's like, oh my, I'll take the cheesy bread, please.
$5.99.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, that one's not that bad. It's just funny because I remember like the disappointment was so like,
Palpable.
yeah. And he ended up being a big dick, so you know.
You know what? We don't feel bad for big dicks. Well, I mean, we don't feel bad for men who choose to act like buttholes.
Buttholes, turds.
I flew out to see him, and all of the following happened. He tricked me into eating pickled quail eggs while he filmed it.
Oh.
He
Oh.
made me do a 2 mile run that was actually 5 miles.
I hope it wasn't after the quail eggs.
Technically, yes, but not in barf territory. Okay, hold on. Let me read the whole thing. Let me read the whole
Okay,
thing.
sorry.
Okay. Accused me of trying to get with his friends. Had a huge surprise, which he talked up and got me all excited for, that was taking me to see his favorite movie. And warned me that while we were watching the game for his favorite football team, that the trip and the night could go bad if they lost. And he punched a wall.
So I guess it went bad.
Think they actually won, but just there was a minute there, it was close.
Oh my God.
I was like, I just remember him saying that and being like, I don't know anyone here. I'm alone in a state I'm not familiar with. What do I do if it goes bad? I'll just do I leave? I'm staying with you. Like, should I go?
That reminds me of another one that I didn't write down.
What?
Traveled to across the country to visit my boyfriend. We went out for sushi where I got violently ill at the table against my will, obviously, and could not eat. So we had to go home because I was needing to be near a toilet. And he refused to speak to me for the entire rest of the weekend that I was there because I ruined dinner.
With an illness.
With an illness, yep.
Did you throw up?
Oh yeah. So like the whole weekend, and he was just livid with me. And it was a sushi dinner, which if you know me, that's my favorite food. Like it broke my heart as much as it clearly broke his.
Seeing you throw up.
Yeah, I wanted that sushi so bad,
He's like,
but
how dare you vomit at the table? Why would you do that on purpose? That's disgusting to
yeah,
me.
I didn't puke at the table, thank God. But
Oh.
we were like, we had to leave because I was like very sick.
You didn't even puke at the table? I was at least hoping you threw up on him. And then
Oh.
he just, because you got sick, period, he was like,
Yeah, because I just ruined the dinner because I didn't. We like got there and sat down and got our drinks, and I was like, we need to leave. I really don't feel well. Like I have no appetite. I'm sweaty. Like I can feel, you can feel
yeah,
that
we're
kind of
going
stuff
down.
coming. I was
Yeah.
like, we are in emergency territory. We need to go home. And I was sick for the rest of the weekend, and he was just livid with me for the whole weekend, even though I paid to go out there and visit. And I could have used, a glass of water, maybe somebody to like
Oh.
rub my back.
Have any compassion? Take care of you at
Yeah.
all?
Nope.
No. I don't think so. Not after
This
that,
is.
not after that performance, Kate. On New Year's Eve, I caught him texting another girl, telling her that he loved her.
Oh.
And when I confronted him, he sobbed like a baby, and I spent the whole night making him feel better.
Oh, classic.
That's literally, I saw him do it, like over his shoulder. I saw him do it. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Did you just say I love you to some girl? And I didn't even know her. He's like, well, I don't, well, she said it to me, and like, I don't
My
know.
God, the gaslighting.
Yeah. And then he was sobbing, and he was around all these guys who were not cool with men crying. So I was like trying to shield him from these other guys and hide the fact that he is sobbing hysterically.
Because he got caught. Nice. Oh, that segues into another one for me.
Oh my God. Look at us.
I know. Look at us just on the same wavelength here with the
Thriving.
filthy men we've dated. So I saw this over his shoulder when he thought I was sleeping. He
Oh.
texted his group chat of men, all of his buddies, hashtag score the morning after our first sleepover. I thought I was asleep, and I like kind of opened my eyes and just saw him like on his
Oh my
phone.
God, guys.
Yeah,
You
he
won't
was like,
believe what happened.
eyes popped open, and he was like, buddies, hashtag score.
So immature. Yeah, I don't envy someone whose life, like, that's the highlight, is texting the boys. Score.
Yeah. I think in my head, if I remember correctly, I was just glad he wasn't texting them like, she's gross. Like, I was like, well, I guess I'm a score.
Hashtag worthy of being bragged about.
Hashtag winning.
Okay, I have a good one. I took him to a park to go on a walk where he made me film him doing a backflip off a tree and then sprayed my mace everywhere.
Oh my God.
I have that video. It came up on my Facebook memories and I was like, the man literally goes, film this. He's like, watch, do this. Film this. And he's like, in his 20s.
Look what I can do. He's
like, no, seriously, film this and post this. And he like was one of those like didn't want to put like photos of us up. But he definitely wanted me to snag that flip.
Snag that wicked gnarly flip.
And then he sprayed my mace like an idiot. He's like, shh. Oh. And I was like, why would you do that? We're outside. It's blowing in our direction. Why? And he's just like an idiot. I don't know.
Because I'm a petulant child.
I'm a cool dude. I'm cool. If anybody needs a sick flip video, let me know. Because I have one. Parkour commercial. I got your guy.
Parkour. He took me to an employee event and introduced me as his friend to everyone. And we had been exclusive for 6 months.
Oh no. Why?
No warning. I was very much under the impression I was going as his girlfriend, but this is my friend Kate.
So just stabbed 1,000 times that night every time he's like, my friend.
Over and over again. He was a teacher. It was a playoff football game. So all of his coworkers were there. And I was meeting all of them, like dozens of people over and over again. It's my friend Kate.
Was he dating another teacher?
Not that I know of, but it's possible. But
why would he? Why would he be hiding that you were together?
I was a lot younger than him. Like that's
bingo.
Why.
That's yeah. What it. And a teacher.
And he was a high school teacher. Yep.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Realizing exactly what happened.
Yep. There was some shame there, but you know, we'd been very, very strongly dating with very strong words used for 6 months, but. When it came down to the nitty gritty of me actually, you know, integrating in any way into his life. It's my friend Kate.
Yeah. And him looking like a predator, maybe. But the fact that he called you a friend, I don't think anybody's dumb. So he looked more scary, would be my assumption.
And no one knew how old I was. So that's the weird part. Like, it's almost creepier if he's like, this is my friend.
This is my friend that I brought to this event. They're like, why are you lying, bro? Like, yeah.
What are you trying to fool?
What's your problem? Then you like, how old is she? Because this is weird now. I wasn't worried, but now I am.
I think I've talked about him before, but he went on to marry one of his former students who is much younger than me. So.
Barf.
Yeah.
Gross. Predator. Yep. I see. Okay. Yep. Okay. You know what? This is trauma light. Everybody's trauma light. Yep. Not trauma light for me, but trauma light to hear. If we're going to go down the predator path, I'll give you one.
Something.
So here's a good one. You know, he told everyone we started dating when I was 20 and he would have been 27-ish. But the truth of the matter was we actually met when I was 16. And he was 23 or 24. We were at a baby baptism. I was dating someone my own age, and he was dating the older sister that was his appropriate age that was friends with the guy I was dating. That's how we met. I was in high school and he knew that. And he once sent me a Facebook message that said, if you weren't 16, I would so be on you right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, then we dated when I was of age.
And you're like, tell me more.
I look back at our messages and I was like, I definitely was flirting with him, but I was also in high school. And he was a cool older guy. And he was in college near graduation and he was talking to a junior in high school.
See that? I keep seeing like, are they TikToks or whatever memes being like, girl, This much older man does not think you're, quote, mature for your age. He's just a goon, and the women his age don't want him because he's a predator.
Yeah, you can be super mature, but if you're 16 and he's 25, like,
yeah,
that's not why he likes you.
Yep.
Even if you're mature, that's probably not
he
the reason.
He likes you because you've never been with other men, so you don't know how bad he is.
You don't know how bad he is. You don't know the red flags. You don't know he's immature. Yep. And he wants to mold you, probably.
Run, girl.
But I was, like, looking at the old messages, and I can see where he would call me, like, kid or, like, buddy, punk, like, little.
Yeah,
like,
what I would call my kid brother.
Yes. What you? And then he slowly switched it into really flirtatious language.
Ew.
Like calling me hot and like hot pants. He called me hot pants. I was still in high school and he was saying we would hang out. And he's the devil. He's the worst person I ever dated. And he's lucky I don't ever say his name or what he did.
The groomer.
Like, I always look back and I'm like, which of his friends knew that? Like, who knew the real story of how we met?
Yeah.
Because I don't think they did. Or if
that
they did.
Many.
I don't know. Well, he also, his friends also would like try and get with me when we were together and try to get with me when we broke up. So maybe they just don't care. Maybe morals aren't their thing.
Yeah.
Give me another one.
Woo. Okay. I guess this one isn't that funny either, but he threw my MacBook against the wall when I dared to question whether or not he should be drinking before working a double shift. He had just gotten out of the shower with a shower beer.
I've never had one of those.
No. And then cracked another one. And I was like, do you, you might be a little miserable today. If you keep that up, that's like what, your fifth or sixth beer this morning.
Does that seem healthy to you?
Frisbee right against the wall.
What do you say after it happened?
Nothing. He left. And then, later on when he calmed the fuck down, I said, you're buying me a new MacBook. And he said, okay.
You got it.
And that was it. Worries. That was enough for me. Oh, he replaced it.
He paid for it.
Still stuck around. Silly old me.
I don't think I appreciated at the time because I dated punchers. Not me. Yeah. Didn't punch me, but like wall punchers.
Yeah.
Throwing stuff, like tantrums.
Yeah.
Just adult.
Which
tantrums.
Is like a gateway to becoming a real puncher.
Well, yeah. And I think I don't ever think I like appreciated the implication. Like, I knew how it made me feel in those moments because it's a conversation ender.
Yeah.
When that happens, I just,
oh, like, yeah.
Oh shit. Like,
and we're done.
Yeah. And I'm going to look down at the floor because I can't handle this at this time. But like, it took me like going into adulthood to be like, oh no, he knew exactly what that was going to do. That was the point. The point was to stop the conversation. The point was to scare me.
Just to shut you up.
Yes. The point was to make me feel like I don't ever want to talk about this subject again.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, I think. Cause like, it's bad enough at the time. You're like, that was dramatic. That was dramatic.
That was exactly it. To me, it was like, that was really dramatic. Like, that was how I brushed it off.
I know.
Now it's like, that was really abusive.
That was like, what we call abuse.
That was abuse. And I will preface, I was never hit by this person, but
good.
It was not a healthy relationship. And that was, you know, at the time I was like, I can handle, like, I could have rocked his shit if I had to, because.
That's the thing. When they're nice guys, it's like, if you're like, because a lot of the guys that did stupid shit to me were smaller than me.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I'm not physically threatened by you.
Yeah. And I was just like, God, why are you so dramatic? But really it was like.
It's bad. They get away with it because they're small.
Yeah.
Or like they're less, I don't know how tall this guy was, but they're less imposing. And so it's like, if a big dude did that, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But the little guy, you're like, ugh, baby, like a tantrum. But I think that's one of the things that, like, we don't talk about enough with nice guys is, like, sometimes when they do ridiculous behavior because they're small or, like, funny or whatever, you definitely throw it like, oh, my God, he's being dramatic. Oh, my gosh. It's just,
little man syndrome, funny man syndrome.
Tantrum. Yeah, exactly.
You let them get away with stuff that's otherwise very
scary
behavior.
Yeah, because you know you can take them, or you, well, and that's a fallacy in itself, like, because these dudes, if they're really wanting to harm you, you're screwed. Like,
we should never be having to think that.
Yeah, right. You should never be like, I can physically take him.
I could beat the shit out of my boyfriend if I had to. That should never cross my mind.
The fact that we're like having to come up with like fighting strategies, like I'll take him out at the legs. Yeah. He's got skinny bird legs. I'll go for the knees. I'm scrappy.
Go right for them twiggies.
Yeah. Actually, oh. I'd go for the berries if you know what I mean. If in case of if something bad goes, I'm like, bye. See ya.
Snatch that shower beer right out of his hand and crack it across his head. Just kidding. All right. Moving on. You're next.
Any jokes of violence on our part are jokes and not real.
Jokes. Nope. Never happened.
One time we got into a fight. He was in the passenger seat. I was driving. He started banging full strength on my dashboard to the point where I was like, oh my God, the airbag is going to deploy. So I said, we were in high school. I said, call your parents, they're going to have to pick you up. He made the call. He had me drive to a parking lot. We waited there for 15 minutes. And he finally admitted he had never made that call. And I took him home. That was it. And we stayed together.
Oh, God.
He literally did the whole call. He's like, hey, Dad, it's me. Yeah, she's really going to make me get out of this car. And I was like, yes, I am.
And he was talking to no one.
To no one, to his self.
Oh, that's psychotic.
His own conscience.
To the little voice in his head.
He had me drive to the parking lot, sit in there, and wait for them. They were not coming, Kate.
Yeah, what was his plan?
I don't know. Eventually, I'm like, I had to admit that, like, you know, and they didn't call. I'm like, okay, well, I'll take you home. I guess we'll keep dating.
Oh, my God. So embarrassing for him.
He was, I don't remember what. God, I don't remember what he was mad about, but yeah, he was throwing a tantrum and he was like slamming it, and I was like pulled the car over and I was like, yeah, you're not gonna be in my car acting like that. And yet again, didn't end it. Said, I don't think so, mister. I have standards. Now let me take you home and continue to date you.
Oh no. The things we tolerated. He took me golfing and he left me on the back nine by driving away on the golf cart because I wasn't playing well enough. It was taking too long, so I had to call my mom to come get me. I had to walk all the way back to the parking lot, which was very far. He didn't even like finish golfing though. He just was so mad that he was just like, peace, and left. I didn't even get to like follow him to the next hole. He just left. He went back and returned the golf cart and drove home and left me at the golf course.
With no car?
No. He had drove me there. I had to call my mom. The walk of shame back to the parking lot. I'm like, Mom. My mom was so like embarrassed
oh
for
my
me.
God.
Like, I'm sorry, why did he leave? Because you were slow at golf? I think my mom wanted to kill me.
I would want to kill him.
Yeah. She was
like, why'd she want to kill you?
For staying?
Yeah. You're like, Mom, he said he would never leave me at a golf course again.
Yeah. She tells me all the time now. She's like, that was one of those. She's going to have to live and learn through this one. Your father and I were praying nightly that you didn't get too far with that one. There wasn't a ring involved. Thank God.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Here's off the dome. Okay. I was just thinking about athletics. One time I had a boyfriend take me for a run and I have asthma and it's can be exercise induced. So I started having trouble breathing while we were running and he proceeded to tell me that my asthma was in my mind.
Oh.
And I was so mad that I sprinted for 30 seconds so I'd be ahead of him and then went the rest of the way home with that distance. So he had to like walk, saunter, almost jog. We separately, like 30 feet away from each other, 4 miles.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, fuck you, but also we're still together and
also I love you.
We're on foot. Don't ever do this again. He literally was like, it's in your head. Just it's like mental right now. Like you can think past this asthma. And I'm like,
the constricting of my vessels is all in my head. It's all in my head.
Yeah, that pissed me off. Wow. That pissed me off really good. That was a good one. It's mental. I'm like, I have a lot of mental issues. My asthma is not one of them.
Yeah. This is physically showing up in my body. My face is red. You can hear my breathing, but it's all in my head.
I'm wheezing.
All right. This is my last one.
Okay.
He took me out to karaoke with his band and then got mad when I sang a duet with his bandmate because people clapped for us and not for him when he sang a solo of Lips of an Angel. It was bad. It was bad. He pushed me to sing with his bandmate, who was the lead singer of his band. He was
Oh,
the
that whole
guitar player.
deal.
It's Glycerine guy. It's him. It's him.
Glycerine. Of course he sang Lips of an
Glycerine.
Angel. That's
Oh
his
yeah, it's right on par.
vocal house.
People did not
Lips
like
of
it.
an Angel.
It
Okay.
was
Also,
so
that's
bad.
isn't that about cheating?
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
good.
real
Okay.
classy song to choose on one of our first dates. Yeah, he didn't talk to me for like the rest of the night. He told me I embarrassed him by doing what he asked me to do and like I guess doing it decently enough to get
For the record, to the
applause.
listeners, Kate is a really good, very incredibly talented singer. So that's part of the problem. Is she? I guarantee he probably thought you'd go up there and be like, "Oh, I'm
Probably
just having
did.
fun," and you're like, "Give me the fucking mic. I'm about to rock this."
His bandmate was really good, and like he
Yeah.
knew that he was really good. I literally think he thought I was gonna go up there and just be like overpowered by his bandmate the whole time and just kind of like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was resistant because karaoke, like I get embarrassed. I have to be like either really drunk or with like very close friends to be able to do
Yeah,
karaoke
I
comfortably.
get
And he
that.
was like pushing and pushing and pushing. I finally was like, all right. And we sang that it's an Evanescence duet, I think.
I know what it is.
Oh, Broken by Seether with
I'm
Amy. Yeah.
broken.
Because that was like their style of music
I was
that
gonna say it's all in the same.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, sure, I'll sing that one. And he was like, yeah, get up there and do it. Like, I think he was setting me up to embarrass me.
I
Like,
think he was.
and I held my own, and then he was pissed.
I love that he takes you, your first date, to karaoke. You're not comfortable. He forces you on stage. He forces you to sing with his bandmate. And then when you actually succeed, he's like, screw you.
Embarrass
Like,
me.
what? You made me do this. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he was setting you up for like needing
Yeah.
him or like being embarrassed. And then you're amazing. And he's like, well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to control you now?
He went home and like whisper saying glycerine to himself to feel better.
He probably did. He probably sang it, like a karaoke version of that song just to prove he could also sing it and sang both parts because he can sing better than you also.
My mommy said I'm a good singer.
Probably, Kate,
Oh, God.
at this point, I think we know that that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my
So
last one.
I have two. I feel like I have a lot of nice guy experiences, but I usually got out before there was like some. Because I dated a lot of goofy dudes
Yeah.
who didn't do as big of things, but I have two how it ended. Okay, here's the first one. This is the worst ever. So he got mad at me because he took me to a party and then kept ignoring me. And then he screamed in my face and told me to wait in the car, even though it was like snowing and freezing. Then he finally took me home. We got there. He was giving me the silent treatment. He stormed up. He got all my things, including my laptop, threw my backpack at my feet, which again had my laptop in it, and said, Merry fucking Christmas, while he went to lock me out of his apartment building at 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve.
Oh,
So that, yeah.
what a gem. What a
Was a
gem.
good one.
What a Christmas elf.
I mean, what a jolly Saint Nick. Is this, he was a real Krampus. He
My
literally, I mean,
God.
like, locked me out of the whole building. It was like 3 a.m. It was
Did you have a
freezing.
car?
Yeah.
Oh, thank
But I
God.
like, he didn't know that
Jesus.
I wasn't drinking, but he didn't know that. Like, when you date these guys, you get a vibe and like, you're like, okay, I need to stop drinking because I feel like he's gonna be a shit. So I'd stopped drinking. So I was sober, but he didn't know that. Was this the guy who groomed me? Yeah, it was the same guy.
Oh
Yeah.
no.
And then he would send me text messages like way later, being like, I'm gonna learn to play the guitar and I'm gonna sing to you to win you back. Like he would drunk text me all the time. Like, I'm gonna play the guitar for you. I'm gonna win you back when you go to LA, which never did. Don't know.
Glycerine.
Glycerine. Merry fucking Christmas. Yeah. Fuck that guy. Here's a more fun one. Here's a gem. Okay.
Okay.
His ex-best friend sent me screenshots of their conversation while I was on the phone with him that let me know he calls me an anti-smoking Nazi.
Oh.
And saying that if we weren't dating, he would be getting some serious poontang.
Poontang. I haven't heard that.
Quote. And it was from not long enough ago.
Poontang. Wow. Points for verbiage, I guess. Wow. What?
I literally remember going, I don't date men who say poontang. Which later changed to, I don't date men.
Period.
Oh. He was the, was he the last guy?
That was it.
No, there was one more.
The poontang is what did it for you.
The poontang honestly soured it for me. I was like, you know what? I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this.
What am I doing?
My wife would never say poontang. I can go on the record. So he did that. And then he said he was coming over. Okay. Because he wanted to talk. Now, I already knew we were breaking up. Yeah. Poontang immediately. Immediately, no. So I knew this was over. And he showed up and like he had had a like facial hair. He had shaved. He had like seemingly gotten a haircut. He was in a full suit, Kate.
Ew.
A full suit, like tie, suit jacket, fancy pants. He had a bouquet of flowers. And there was a little card on the flowers. Kate, you want to guess what was on the card?
I'm sorry for saying poontang.
You know what? They did not have that one printed, but it was a grown man in a doghouse.
Oh,
and him, like, God. Like, which, why the hell do the florists have that card? Hello, please don't be like you. Because that's when men buy women flowers. another doghouse? Okay, let me just, this is, 90% of our business. So there, the little card that says, can I come out of the doghouse now?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Then he came in, and again, like, he's called me an anti-smoking Nazi. He, said poontang, period. But he was, now, again, this was revealed to me through his ex-best friend, who I was on the phone with him trying to get him to tell me what he's been doing that was bad, because his friend was like, he's not who you think he is. Like, okay, so I tried to get him to confess, so that didn't work out. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was apologizing to him when I heard boop. And it's the screenshots coming in through Facebook Messenger. I was mid-apology.
So like in real time.
Yes. And I was like, oh, that's funny. Wait,
pause for a minute. Listened.
And I was like, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, so you didn't say I was an anti-smoking Nazi? And you could, that's pretty specific verbiage. So he's like,
uh-oh.
Yeah. So this dude after that thinks, oh, I'll just wear a suit and get some flowers. It'll be fine. And then he had like at least 3-page handwritten letter. Oh. And I was like, bro, please. And he's like, I have to read it. I'm like, no. I'm trying to save him, because it was a no. Yeah, well, just like, it is embarrassing. I'm still thinking about him because it's like, I can't imagine reading a 3-page letter and then having the person be like, no. Why didn't you stop me when I was on the first page? That's what I was thinking. So I was like, no. And he's like, no. You have to hear it. I'm like, okay, dude, just go for it. So he's like crying, reading it. He's calling me like his pookie kins.
Oh my God.
And like how much he loves me and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like listening to it like, oh, so you've just been manipulating me this whole time, I think. Cause I've only seen this side of you. This is not the same guy in the Facebook Messenger.
What a pud.
A pud?
A pud.
What's a pud?
Slang for wiener.
Oh, see why I don't know.
What?
That's not lesbian talk, okay?
Sorry. Poontang, though. That's on
Poontang, radar. That's what we say.
That's seared in.
No poontang for the pud, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can say that. But also, he was the same guy who would pretend to accidentally tell me things and do things. Like he pretended on our first kiss, he like touched my hips and then pulled his hands back and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh no, it's fine. And then he kissed me. And I remember being like, that was kind of weird. That was
the shivers.
Yeah. Flashbacks. And then he did the same thing when he told me he loved me. He was like, oh yeah, I was just telling my mom, you know, that I love you. Oh my God. Did I say I love you? And I was like, okay, now I feel like that's just your move. It's by, you like don't want to feel awkward. Like he was the most disingenuous person. Everything was like this facade. Like everything was this character of like what he thought a good boyfriend was.
Scripted.
Yes. Ew. But he was a terrible script writer. So interesting.
Funny. Funny.
I feel like I can say that because he said Punte. So I feel like all bets are off and funny. I can say whatever I want.
That's like on par with, I just heard someone use the word nincompoop for the first time in a long time.
That's
like,
good one.
Poontang and nincompoop. Oh.
Oh, so this dude, after all this happened, and we're not friends. Like he would reach out to me randomly, but we were not close. Tried to get me to get him a job.
Oh, nice.
Be like, sorry, buddy, the Poontang department's all closed down. No openings.
No favors.
I don't even think he wanted me. He just wanted me to get him a job because I haven't done enough. And here's a good one. That groomer guy who I dated, who was, I literally can't even say on this podcast the stuff that he did. He later, so this is after everything, I get a message from a woman who I'm not going to name. And she was like, hey, I know that you're like out and you're queer and I want to talk to you about that. Like I'm currently like going through that and I didn't know if you had any advice. This is a stranger. I don't know who this person is. So I'm like, how do I know you? And she's like, oh yeah. So I almost said his name. The groomer guy was talking to me and I was telling him, I was telling him about my struggles and he mentioned you and your wife. And I'm like, get my name out of your motherfucking mouth. He was still trying to use me as an extension of him. Like,
weirdo.
Like a decade later, I was just like, who the fuck like does what you did to me for so long and got away with it and then like
still uses
me?
Yeah.
Like, why would you even talk about me? It's been 10 years. I know you know more gay people than just me. I think. Maybe not. I don't know. He's a piece of shit, so maybe not. Ugh. I just found that to be so... Like, it's amazing that they'll still... Like, I guess two things. One, that they'll still try and use you, like, way after the fact.
Yeah.
No matter how shitty they are. Like, they'll still think they can pop right back in, right? And then two is, like, I honestly don't think he remembers anything he did or like thinks he did anything wrong.
No, probably not. Complete narcissist just blocks it out, lies to himself till he believes it.
Yeah. Like I honestly, like things that I will never forget that he did, I don't think he recalls. Like I don't think he would, if I was like, you did this, this, and this, I think he'd be like, what? It
happens a lot. I've been seeing a lot of like men confronting their parents. This is kind of off topic, but along the same lines about like the abuse that they did when they were younger. And the parents are like, well, that never happened. That just, I don't remember that. It never happened.
Mm.
And they're like, I was there. I saw it. I heard it. Like, what do you mean? They just pretend like it. They convince themselves. You
know? I think they convince themselves. But I also think there's this weird thing of like, imagine how horrible you have to be of a human being that like degrading someone or harming someone, like, in very clear ways, to the point that someone is crying or visibly distraught, like we've all experienced with these men, right? These toxic men. And having that not be noteworthy to you. It's not even enough for their brain to hold on to. Or it's one of many things that their brain
just falls into the norm for them, so they can't even pinpoint it as a memory.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's so funny because like this podcast is super helpful. And then there's times also where it like makes me realize like, damn, these dudes never had any consequences for that.
No accountability.
I mean, aside from losing you, like, which obviously is a consequence, but
yeah,
I guess you have in your mind some hope that they like get better.
Yeah.
But like, this dude never spoke to me. We never spoke again. And he was using me as a reference.
So the glycerine guy.
Oh my glycerine, God. Glycerine.
That was now, it was a while ago, 13 years ago. And my now husband, I think I've mentioned it before, has a genetic disorder that's very, very rare and very relatively recently studied. And this, the guy who got mad at karaoke, went into like microbiology or something. I don't know what he does, a specialized biology role. So he, and I guess he was still connected to me on social media. He was never really on Facebook or anything. So I don't think I ever thought to like unfriend him because he wasn't active to begin with,
right.
But he had clearly been paying attention to like my life develop because I met my husband right after him, and he like gave me this whole spiel about how you're going to be alone forever. Like it's way, way back. We did an episode about him, all the like stuff he would send me in messages about.
I know that was the glycerine guy.
Yeah. Same guy. So clearly he had followed me into my happy marriage, into my fight to have children and prevent this genetic mutation from passing down. And like 10 years later, he reached out to me with his whatever biology background and tried to school me on what we needed to do for my husband's genetic mutation.
Mm.
Like what type of therapies we should be looking into. Knowing I was in a study with the literal world's experts on this genetic mutation. He tried to come into my DMs and tell me all of the things that we should be doing and researching.
Mm-hmm.
For,
because he knows so much about this newly discovered mutation.
Yeah.
More than the
experts. It was so funny to me. I was like, thank you. Like, just so you know, my husband's doctor is the world expert on this genetic mutation that is very rare, but I guess you know more. Thank you so much for your input. It's just so weird.
There's something to be said about like their undying, unwavering confidence in themselves.
Yeah, like, and their need to get in the last word. Like, dude, go away. I like forgot you existed.
Yeah, I literally don't think about you. And it's also like, I look back on like guys I've dated, and like some of them were young, right? Like some of them were just like the ones that were in high school. I'm like, you seem to have grown. Like the one ex that said some things, I was like, yikes. He's great now and he's got kids and he's great. Yeah. Seemingly. And he's always been very supportive and kind. And so if I ever talk to him, which is rare, but I'm like, oh, that's nice. But then like, aside from him, basically aside from one guy, generally speaking, when these men reach out to me or have reached out to me, in the past, it has never been about me. It has never been about like anything related to me. It's either like they're doing it for their own ego. Yeah, they're doing
something
it
they can offer.
Yes. Like they want to get back with you or they need something. Like it's like, I've had so many letdowns where like exes have reached out like over the years. And I've been like naive. I wouldn't do this now, but naive me would be like, oh my God, they're trying to reconnect. They actually want to be my friend. I mattered to them. And then they'd end up either trying to get with you or wanting to use you to process their emotions because God, like they don't have anyone. And it's like so disheartening because you start to realize how many people like, oh no, you're just blatantly using me for something. You just like do not care about me. You do not. I think it took me like a long time to really comprehend that men can date you and not care about you.
Yeah. And then completely forget you.
Yeah. Cause I can't do that. I can't do that with like, if I hung out with like a stranger for more than like an hour, I'd probably be like, I definitely care about them.
Yeah,
definitely hope.
I'll at least remember their name for the
rest of them. If I did something horrible to them, I would remember it. Another thing that made me think of just like the unwavering confidence. I was listening to a podcast, The Opportunist. Shout out to The Opportunist. It's about people who are con people, like an opportunity arises and they become a con, some type of con, mm-hmm. or do a con on people who, like, maybe they were like seemingly average people until this happened.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's a lot of nice guys on there, so it's really interesting. But there was a guy who, I believe, unless I'm mixing up episodes, which I could be, he was like falsifying records. Like, he was pretending he could be basically a medical examiner, and he had no training. He was like an assistant to a medical examiner, and then he was pretending to be a medical examiner, and then he was doing medical examinations that weren't like legal. I don't know. Anyways, that's not the point. But he was working with a medical examiner who ended up cutting ties with him. The reason he ended up cutting ties with him is because he realized he was a con artist, and he didn't realize he was a con artist about the medical stuff. He was flying a plane with his flying instructor, this guy, and the con guy said, "I can fly a plane." And they're like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm like trained." And he was so believable, he convinced the actual pilot he could fly the plane. Kate, I have a shocker for you. He could not fly a plane. He had no training. He had never. So they're up in the air, thousands of feet in the air. And he's like, "Oh, I can fly."
He's like, "Beep, beep, yeah. Beep, 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 beep."
Attention passengers. Like just.
Mayday, mayday.
Mayday, mayday, we're going down.
Like living out his best childhood dream.
But like, he just, and like, he had to have believed it on some level because he was in the air. Like it was, he was risking his own life. But he was like, that's what he was known for, was like these, he just thought he could do whatever, everything. And it's like, delusion. That's what these guys are like. Yeah. They're absolutely delusional. They're like, yeah. I could fly a plane.
That's easy.
It's like the same guys who are like, I could absolutely kill a bear.
My bare hands.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know about that guy. God.
That actually, I could end on a funny one of why things ended.
Ooh, I like that.
If you said I could kill a bear, that made me think of one.
That's horrifying, but continue.
I dated a guy online. I met him online, and he lived in Pennsylvania, and I fell hard for this guy. He was like really into outdoors, into like, he's a lot like my
lumberjack
dad and my family. Yeah, kind of like hunting, the same type of stuff that my family's been into, like really seemingly just a burly like man's man. He had a dog,
my favorite.
Really fell hard. We really did get along, like virtually, as we got to know each other. So he ended up coming to visit, and I was like, I want to introduce you to my family. Like,
mm-hmm.
It had gotten that serious. We had whatever. So he came and visited, and he like met my dad, and he was such a gentleman. And I remember telling my friends, like, oh my God, he like wants to basically ask my dad for like permission to date me. Like,
oh,
like he wanted to make sure he met my dad to like get his blessing, because he was a little bit older than me or whatever. Like, he was just a gentleman. He came off as a gentleman. So he meets my dad and they get to talking. And my dad, if you know my dad, he's got insane stories, like crazy stories. So like, our uncle and my dad were on a hunting trip together, and it was in like the mountains, Montana, whatever, Wyoming, and a woman who was like the owner of the hunting camp's wife went up into the mountains on a horse, and the horse ended up getting spooked, and she fell off her horse and broke her leg. She was like in dire need of help, and like my dad and our uncle went up and like ended up saving this woman. It was like on the news. There's stories like that. My dad got trapped on 9/11 in the Alaskan wilderness. There's these wild stories that my dad has. And there's one story that he was telling, and they were like shooting the shit and like bonding over these experiences. And I started noticing, like, every story that my dad would tell, because he's a storyteller, this guy would one up my dad with a story, like a more dramatic story. And then my dad would be like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy." And then he ended up getting to the point where there's a story about my dad was on a hunting trip, and there was like a big dump. It was like a garbage dump in a hole, and there were bears that would come to the dump, and people would try to come and get pictures of the bears. And this bear wasn't pulling his head out of the hole for anyone to get a good picture. So my dad nudged the bear with his toe to get the bear to turn around so these people could get their photo, whatever. He's like telling this guy I'm dating this story, and the guy ends up like coming back and being like, well, this one time, I forget what he said, but it was so blatantly obvious that he was lying and making up a story, because it was like, I was in a treehouse one time and a bear popped his head over the railing and I punched him square in the jaw. Like, it was something so ridiculous that even my dad was like, okay.
Okay, buddy.
Just, and it was so uncomfortable for my entire family to sit here and listen to this man have to like one up my dad's stories over and over and over again, that it was like the end of our relationship. We like cut the trip short. I was like, dude, I don't know what's going on. Like, that
Why are
was
you
so
lying?
weird. Why are you lying about this stuff? You literally were matching my dad like detail for detail, but like making it more like, what are you doing? It was so weird. I was like, do you want to date my dad?
Are you
Like,
in this for my father?
are you into my dad? Like, what's going on? It's
What's
just like,
happening right now?
it was such an ick that happened so fast that that was the end
That's,
of
yeah,
our whole
you know.
relationship. It went from like, oh, he wants to get my dad's approval, to like, I think he wants my dad.
He's making up bear stories to bond with my father. I'm really freaked out. Okay, speaking of ridiculous lies, I'll do one last one. We were long distance dating. Now you already know who it is because I said long distance. Same fucking guy. And he went just totally silent for like 2 days. And I was like, oh shit. Like, is he good? Like, that's weird because we talked like continuously. And even though we were not at all exclusive because he didn't want to be. Ouch.
Ouch.
Not against my will. But I definitely cool girled that situation, right?
Oh.
2 days off the grid. And so
Off the grid.
finally, off the grid, literally like nothing. And then his friend reached out to me and was like, oh my God, blanks, this guy is in jail. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, he's in jail. And I was like, okay. What happened? Got into a fight or something? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I finally got a hold of him. I don't know, maybe he was still in the jail at the time. I don't know. But he's
One of those
texting.
collect calls.
I wish. No, he was texting me, I think, and he was like saying how like, yeah, he got his roommate was being rude to his girlfriend, so they got into a brawl, and then she called the cops, which I'm like, why? Let me just tell you the story and then we'll break down the lies here. So he was fighting his roommates and he was defending his roommate's girlfriend from his roommate because his roommate, I think, even said was being like belligerent. And then his roommate's girlfriend called the police. Then they both go to jail. And he was like, I was in there for like, I don't know what he said, like 12 hours, 18 hours, something's ridiculous. And he's like, and I'm believing him. Okay. And then he goes, I just remember I was laying on the jailhouse bench and I was thinking about you. And I just called out your name, Reagan, Reagan. He's like, I was moaning your name because I just needed you so bad because it was so scary or whatever the fuck he said. And I still believed him. And I didn't realize that was a lie until doing this podcast.
Oh God, that's really funny though.
Instead of just saying, like, I was hooking up with some girl, and he got his friend involved, like,
Oh, makes up a whole lie about the drama of moaning your name in a jail cell.
right. And also, okay, if you're protecting her, then why would she call the police on you where you both
Yeah.
would get in trouble?
The math ain't mathin',
Math
buddy.
ain't mathing on that. So that was a
Oh,
good
that's
one.
funny.
Just so you know how that ended, as we probably end this podcast, okay, this is equally ridiculous as it is totally embarrassing. So He tells me, he and this roommate that, you know, he's fought and gone to jail for and with.
Right.
So he texts me. I remember it was early in the morning, and he's like, hey, I have some exciting news. Okay. So mind you, this dude lives far away from me. And the only reason we started talking is because we were both going to go out to LA. Okay. So that's why I was forming a relationship, whatever it was, situationship, I guess, because I'm like, oh, you know, eventually we'll be in the same place. Okay.
Yeah. So
it was coming up on when we were going to leave. And we picked the month. I don't remember the month. Say it was August. Okay. And he's like, okay, I have some really exciting news for you. You gotta like text me when you can. And I literally remember getting the text. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, he's gonna ask me to be his girlfriend. His roommates talk some sense into him and he's gonna wanna be official, because I was absolutely delusional. Just delusional, no signs pointing to relationship, all signs pointing to nightmare, mistake, like this dude sucks. Totally the worst. Like, again, when nice guys are long distance, it goes much longer because they're not in your face showing you all the red flags. You're just like squinting at a distance. You see something waving, but you're not sure if is it pink, is it red. So I just hadn't picked up on his shit. So I'm thinking we're getting together, which again, no, makes no sense. And he goes, yeah. So me and my roommate decided we're going to head up to Alaska for a 3-month excursion in August.
That's such exciting news for you.
Which was literally the month we were supposed to go together, and we were going to live together, but we were both moving at the same time because, like, I didn't have anybody out there. Like, we were supposed to be each other's support person. And he was like, I don't understand what you're mad about. He's like, you said you were going to go with or without me. So, and I'm like, yeah, but the fact that you didn't think about my feelings at all, like, he genuinely did not understand why I was not happy for him and voiced that. He's like, why aren't you happy for me? I'm like, I don't know. Let me think. You're going to go fuck off to Alaska for 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be by myself in like this. We'd been planning the trip the whole time that we were talking, like we bonded over going, and then we started like this thing. And again, I'm like, it's like, I wouldn't be talking to you if we weren't going to end up in the same place. Like, I'm not looking to be, because at that point, like, I'm seeing him very rarely, and basically I'm his emotional support.
Yeah.
Like, while he does whatever he wants with other
That's
girls.
Such a mark of a narcissist, though, to, like, set up a story to be like, I have something exciting to tell you, knowing you're not going to be excited about it, or there's no reason for you to be excited about it, so that they can be like, why aren't you supporting me?
Right. So you seem down and confused, because then they can be like, what's your problem?
Yeah, like, I was so excited. You're really bursting my bubble. Why are you such a buzzkill? Like,
I don't know, because I have feelings.
Yeah, because well, like, this is something I'm not even involved in, and you're recruiting me to be your like cheer squad.
I'm like, oh, you know, so happy to have wasted those 8 months talking to you, because I thought we were going to the same place. I remember, like, speaking of, like, reaching out, like, months later, we went no contact, because that's what I do with someone I think might be a narcissist. Or if they're toxic. Either way, it's fine. I was at, like, another baptism. Why is this what's wrong with baptisms? Why are they coming for me at baptisms?
Baby showers.
This was, like, a christening. I was at a christening. I think I was with my wife at this point. And I literally got a text message that was like, hey, you. It's like, no, dude, nah, not after all. You don't get to hate you. I'm not you. Like, I'm not your friend. Yeah. Like, I'm like, ew, dude. Like, what do you think? I would just be like, oh, good. 3 months have passed. I'm over it. I'm completely fine.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you sociopath. Just kidding. God. I'm not diagnosing him, but I do think he's a narcissist.
We're magnets for them. I'm convinced.
I just had a Lenny on here who wrote, But They're So Nice. It's a book on covert narcissists. And she talks about, like, there are specific traits that make you attractive to narcissists, which is, like, agreeableness.
Yeah, people-pleasing.
People-pleasing, the need to make relationships work, or wanting to be hardworking in relationships. So it's like, I'll stick in this. I'm loyal, like loyalty, the things that keep get you staying when you should go per this entire, like, we should have left. We should have gone when we these things happen. And, you know, also, like, they can smell it on you. Like, once you've been with one narcissist, like, they just know when you're going to be, like, a good person. And, like, they'll literally ask that now. Like, they'll find out you're, like, narcissists will ask about narcissists, so they can be like, perfect. I got another one for you. Oh, God. Well, damn, Kate, this is a fun time.
That was more lighthearted than some of our podcasts have been.
Was it?
I mean, we've gotten nitty gritty before. This one was pretty funny, at least.
Oh, shit. All right, Kate. Well, thank you for joining me on tonight's episode. I'm so glad we got to do this trend. I thought of you immediately.
I knew I'd have some good ones. Oh, that's
embarrassing. Truly. You know what? We don't have to be embarrassed, Kate, okay? We learned, we grew, and now we have a podcast, okay?
Yeah.
So who's embarrassed? Look at us.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? Look at us. All right. Well, thank you so much to Kate for being here. Thank you to all of our listeners. Make sure to check out my TikTok, because I've actually found out some people listen to this that haven't been on my TikTok, which I did not know. So check out the F the Nice Guy podcast TikTok. We have a Patreon where we're uploading, like, extra content. And if you don't want to be a patron, just giving us a review is very, very helpful to us. So if you like the podcast, make sure to give a review on Spotify, Apple, wherever you are listening. And as always, my friends,
F the Nice Guy.